Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And yes, I was just suppressing a belch. Should anybody.
Well, that. I didn't bring that up, but as long as you did, that's what we were talking about last night.
Yeah, and I don't care about what we were talking about last night because that was ridiculous. You know, you guys got this hang up about belching.
You're saying to people. You always talk about people not.
You're always talking about people's personal habits and behavior, and yet you let one rip.
It's a belch. It's not a fart. It's not a, you know what I'm saying? And besides, I don't, quote, let one rip. I actually try to be a gentleman about it and suppress it, you know? As long as you're talking about suppressives. We were talking about Scientology.
That's got nothing to do with what a, oh my God.
But Mr. Henry, you know a suppressive is not somebody that hold a belch back.
I know that, man, in terms of Scientology.
Yes.
I know what it is in terms of Scientology. I applied the word to belches, that's all. I understand what it is. And by the way, bud, you can call him. Let me just tell everybody, welcome to the show, world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, will be on with us this hour. Bud, you can call back Mr. Parsley, and you can tell him that what he was attempting to do to that teddy bear that his niece gave him is not sexual assault, but still, it was a weird thing brought on perhaps by the hallucinogenic. And if you're just joining us, we concluded an interview with a man who was giving us a big long song and a dance about how he lost his girlfriend the same way this Monty Teo did, or Monty Teo, or Monty Teo, is that his name?
Monty, M-O-N-T-E, isn't it?
No, it's not Monty. It's pronounced like that. It's M-O-N-T-I.
Yeah, it's a Hawaiian song. It's a Hawaiian language.
Yeah.
It's, in other words, it's Polynesian.
Yes. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
You were talking about Mr. Parsley.
But yeah, Don Parsley. So, make a long story short, this guy is... He dropped acid or something. He got a dose of acid out of a punch bowl at a card game, and that's what happened to him. He wakes up next to a teddy bear, and the you know,
he woke up next to a teddy bear. He sexually assaulted him.
You cannot sexually assault a teddy bear.
Don't you understand, man? It's not a real. Yeah, no, I know, but you go to jail for it.
No, you can't go to jail for it. No.
Bud, you'll go to a mental institution before you go to a jail cell.
Do you understand the difference? So you're not going to go to jail for it. So he didn't commit a crime. So you can put the phone down, man. Bud's sitting here through the whole break with the phone. Should I call?
I was going to, you know, got all these people doing crazy stuff.
You don't have to call the cops on that. I would never waste the police officer's time with going to arrest a guy because he sexually assaulted a teddy bear. What I would do, though, and I'll tell you something, Mr. Parsley, if you're listening, it's a good thing we didn't call the cops, because the first thing he'd do would get some nut wagon out there.
Oh, yeah, that would be a 70, what is that, 72 or 82-hour observation?
72.
You know for sure.
Because 72 works out to a number of days.
Well, how many? You're the one that opened your big fat mouth. How many?
I opened my big fat mouth? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, how many days is it?
How many days is what?
72 hours.
What's 24 into 7? I don't know if it's a number of days.
Ah, there we go. I think, to answer your question, Phil, it's 72.
It's 72 hours, I think, is the holding, right?
You were thinking of a golf tournament. How many holes in a 5-round? Isn't that what?
Yeah, that's it. Because of the Bill Cosby tournament.
What in the hell are you guys saying?
Mr. Henry, you're thinking of 18 times something, not 24 times something.
No, but I'm still saying 72-hour observation is standard psychiatric observation for people that a police officer or another authority thinks may hurt themselves or another person. That's what the law requires. Is the individual going to hurt themselves or another person? And they give them a standard 72-hour observation, after which they must let them go. You can't keep somebody inside. No, I'm not thinking of a golf tournament.
Well, you said it was 24 and 72.
Yeah, that I got wrong. You're right. 24, 48, 20, 70. 20, wait a second. 24, 20 is 44, 48 hour, then 20 is 68. Yeah, it is. 72 is I don't know. It's 3 days.
It is not. It is 3 days.
Yeah, it is 3 days.
See?
It's still the number of holes in a golf tournament.
Well, it's not the number of holes in a golf tournament.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. 18's a hole. I'm not going to just be quiet, please. All right. Welcome back to our show.
Oh, just be quiet. Oh, everybody be quiet because I'm wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. 72 holes may be 72 holes. You know.
That reminds me of a joke, by the way, if I may just break things up. A guy.
Never mind the joke, okay? I've heard that joke.
What is it?
Don't worry about it. It's a guy that's got 17 daughters.
Oh, my God. You were going to tell that joke.
I didn't tell the joke. I told it once, and that's the end of that. You know.
That's the joke you told to that rock and roll band, right?
I told that joke to Foreigner, and it was like, why am I even here? I should just walk away. It was the most crude.
That's the funniest joke I ever heard.
We're not going to repeat the joke, I'm telling you.
Can't even give the punchline.
If you give the punchline, you give away the joke. No.
I don't want to hear it.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So we've been talking about that Monte Teo, that very bizarre story. As it turns out, but I will tell you this, I believe that we called it right last night when we said that this guy is this cat is making this up for some reason. Highly personal. It could very well be that he was making... Now, this is just my opinion, okay? So we haven't determined this yet.
No, I don't think anyone is ever really going to find out what happened here.
Why?
Well, I don't think anyone will really, really know the story of what happened here. Here, now. They'll never believe it. I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret, would you please resist turning everything into a...
Into a what, Phil?
Into a documentary on, you know, some heavy...
I'm just saying, if you'll pardon me. What do you mean a documentary?
Oh, they'll never believe here and now. I'm Margaret Gray. We're not talking about Gettysburg, okay?
I know we're not... I'm saying that, you know what? Screw you and the cavalry behind. Speaking of Gettysburg...
Well, Margaret, you know... At least you're not going to the toilet.
I'm just looking for a box of tape.
Oh, okay. She is going to the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, to me, it's really funny. By the way, 72 hours is 3 days.
No, it isn't. It's...
Yes, it is. 72 hours is 3 days. It may be the number of holes in a seven-round golf tournament. I don't know. I don't think it is. 18 holes, 54 holes is a 18, 1, 2... I don't know, man. You know, I don't know, okay? Who's who in the Monte Teo fake dead girlfriend scandal? The story of a celebrated Notre Dame linebacker whose tragic story turned out to be a hoax has captured the nation's attention. Here's a guide to the major players in the scandal, real and otherwise. A star Notre Dame linebacker who helped the Irish to an undefeated season, Monte Teo was a respected student with a tragic personal story, the deaths of his grandmother and his girlfriend, Lene Kekua, allegedly in early September, which only helped him play harder. That is, however, until an investigation by the sports blog Deadspin revealed that Kekua never existed. Teo's grandmother, Teo reportedly spoke at length about his relationship with her, how they would write letters and talk on the phone while she fought leukemia after surviving a serious car accident. Teo's family even referred to her as their potential daughter-in-law, but now Teo says he's the victim of a hoax. In a statement following Deadspin's investigation, he says he developed an emotional relationship with a woman he met online, which contradicts the previous story that Teo and Kekua met after a Stanford-Notre Dame football game. That's why I think the guy is making it up, because this cat is contradicting himself. He said as of December the 6th, he knew that the story was a hoax, but he didn't tell Notre Dame apparently until the 26th, and in between he had given some media interviews in which he referenced this girlfriend. I think the guy himself is making this stuff up. Coming up, we've got Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods, one of the top grocery store chains in the country, to comment on the Monte Teo story and its ramifications.
I just want the owner of a grocery chain.
That's right. He's, you know, We'll be right back. Well, don't. That's my decision.
That is pretty weird. The guy's
stocking the shelves. And now, you never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
True.
Now, stocking the shelves.
He's our bitch. The Phil Henry
weird.
Show.
I'm just saying it's weird. That may I say that?
Go ahead. All right, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, and we are online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs. We've got a backstage pass there for you, just for you, so you can watch our online video cast each night, so you can listen to every day's podcast the next day, so you can access close to 5,000 hours of full radio shows going back over a decade right there on philhenryshow.com. There are going to be future video events as we are transitioning our website from one platform to another. We not only have a new design, we're going to have many more features, especially for our Backstage Pass members. If nothing else, we're going to have a special member login site.
It's gonna be patterned basically after the porn sites.
Yeah, it's going to be patterned. Will you shut up? It's not being patterned after a porn site.
Why don't you gag him?
No, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, well, you just did, didn't you?
I'm saying that the people that pioneered the subscriptions business were porn.
Yeah, that's right. The people that Will you knock it off, bud?
Man, why don't you just shut up? Well,
I made one comment to him, Margaret. I said it has an online. It'll have a place for member login like porn sites, and now all of a sudden.
Well, you're the one that put that bee in his bonnet.
Yeah, you put it in my bonnet.
Did I put it in your bonnet? Really? I didn't know you wore a bonnet, bud. Only babies wear bonnets.
What a chop, man.
No. That doesn't harm me. I don't feel that.
Well, all right, 877-876-PHIL. Don't keep shaking your head, bud. It was a good enough burn where it was able to conclude this. All right. Robert Greene is going to be joining us here online at philhenryshow.com in just a moment to talk with, and also on our radio show, The Phil Henry Show. To talk with us here in just a moment about this Monte Teo story. And I don't mean to go long with this story, but I do believe that it is worthy of discussion because they bring up a thing called catfishing. Now, the athletic director at Notre Dame is a guy by the name of Jack Swarbrick, who apparently, if you'll pardon me for saying, is either the most gullible guy that the world has ever known. Or maybe not all that gullible. Maybe he's just a kind guy with a little bit of gullibility, or he is dishonest. I don't think it's dishonesty. I think it's an athletic director looking to protect one of the members of a very valued institution, Notre Dame, to wit, the football team. And he doesn't want to come out and call a kid a liar. The first thing that he's going to do is circle the wagons, protect the kid, protect the program, protect Notre Dame's good name, and say, well, now, wait a minute, you know, I think this kid's a victim, too, just like everybody else. He brings up this thing called catfishing. Catfishing, as I understand it, is the creation of a very attractive online persona in order to attract someone to begin a relationship with you, and hence you get this person to fall in love with you, or whoever this person is.
And they call it catfishing because my understanding is catfish fight as if they're bigger fish.
Yeah, that's right. A catfish gonna put on a fight.
Well, what do you know about it? Well, I better not say.
Hey, bud, I swear to God, you know, and I'm not kidding, I'm gonna not only punch you, I'm gonna fire you. Okay, I'm getting sick and tired of you with the race references.
I know that he was going to say that.
I just was going to say, if Roberts...
Don't do it, man.
You know, why, bud? Just because he's black, his family must have been fishing for catfish. You know that catfish is... The first time I ever ate a catfish sandwich, which was the last, by the way, was in a barbecue restaurant in the South run by a bunch of white people. You know, it's not a racial thing, okay? It's mostly like a... Probably a poor person thing that became a, well, I don't know what you want to call a Southern delicacy slash, you know, rather an entree with some cachet. You know, it's been identified with Southern eating.
You don't like it, though.
I don't like catfish. No way. No, man. No way for me, man.
What do you like to have?
You eat shark?
Do I eat shark? What's that got to do with anything?
I don't know. Just, it's a weird fish.
As a matter of fact, I have eaten shark, and I like it.
Oh, my God. You eat shark?
Yeah.
It's a meat eater.
Let me tell you, excuse me. Let me tell you something about, you see, this is something people have wrong. Meat eaters got nothing to do with it. Meat eaters got, people say, oh, I don't eat that because it's a meat eater. I don't eat lion because it's a meat. The reason why we don't eat lion, and the reason why we don't eat cat, and the reason why we don't eat these kinds of animals traditionally is for one reason and one reason only. They were not bred to be eaten, okay?
Well, Phil, you're beginning to do my cadence, and...
Yeah, Ms. Ray's the one who goes eaten.
Well, guess what, Margaret? You're not the only one who gets to do that, okay?
All right. God, you don't have to talk to me like I'm a maid.
Well, I'm just trying to get the show back on track. Now,
you know, I see you got to get show back on track, but you ain't never know.
Yeah.
Don't do the shorthand, man.
He's doing shorthand because you want to get the show back on track. So you always say you want to get show back track, but you not know. There.
In any event, that was shorthand, folks, in case you don't know. All right. In any event, the reason why we don't eat meat is because we never bred animals that are meat eaters for consumption. Why? Okay.
Because it don't taste good.
Wrong. Wrong. The reason why we don't breed meat eaters for consumption is because they take too much food. It takes too much to feed them. Meat eaters require far more in terms of calories, in terms of a daily expenditure of money to feed than do the herbivores such as cows, etc. So in other words, to domesticate a meat-eating animal, let's say, like a lion, which is a big cat, and that would be the only kind of an animal that you would want to domesticate for food purposes. You want a big animal. To domesticate that creature and then feed it, we learned long ago as human beings, not worth it, ain't going to happen, costs too much, because you have to feed that meat eater basically an animal, another animal. That's way more expensive and far more troubling and troublesome and time-consuming.
I'd say it's trouble. You got to feed it a dog and everything. That's bad.
You wouldn't do that. You'd probably, if you were going to do it, you'd raise another kind of animal. But it's ridiculous. And that's why man, the human race, decided long ago, centuries ago, thousands of years ago, forget it.
I wonder who the first person was that decided, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to know about that.
Some guy, some farmer, one guy probably said, hey, why don't we raise those animals? Hey, you know how much it's going to cost?
Maybe how much it's going to cost. They didn't have no money then.
It doesn't matter. So as a result, it's a lot easier to grow grain or whatever it is that a cow eats than it is to grow whatever the hell, you know, to raise up another animal to feed to an animal. So that became the end of that. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with the taste. And human beings, you know, we've got ourselves faked into this, you know.
Well, I saw Ted Nugent on TV one time, and he's a hunter. And Ted Nugent said, they said, would you ever eat a meat eater? He said, no. They said, would you ever eat a dog or cat? That was it, because he's all a hunter and everything. And he said, no, it's a meat eater.
Meaning he wouldn't eat it because he thinks it tastes bad.
Yes, that was right. So, and that's Ted Nugent.
Well, that may be Ted Nugent, and he might be a good hunter, but he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground about why we don't eat meat eaters. That's why we don't. It's got nothing to do with taste. Maybe he doesn't think they taste good, but I got news for you. It's all in his head. It's got nothing to do with that.
All right, would you then why not eat a puppy dog when you go down to Thailand to relax with the boys? I'm only kidding.
Shut up.
I'm only kidding.
It's not a funny joke. And I would never do that because I have a great warmth of feeling for our domesticated dogs and cats. I'm not going to do that. Same reason why I don't eat swine anymore.
Yeah, you don't eat swine because they're like...
Why? Because of Babe? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you don't eat swine on account of Babe.
Not on account of Babe, but because pigs are... Yeah, that's right. They're highly intelligent, and I like pigs, and I ain't going to eat them anymore. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, about a guy made a steer out of a pet that one time, and you laughed about it.
Who?
That guy up in the desert?
You said the guy that repaired Packard's.
I didn't eat those steaks.
Well, but he was, wasn't that a pet?
No, it was not a pet. The guy had a steer. This guy was an auto mechanic in the middle of the desert that I went to visit one time with friends of mine. And the dude had a steer in the backyard, and when I came back to the guy's house the next time, like a few months later, he opened up a freezer, there were all the steaks. But that wasn't a pet. That was a steer that he was going to eat, okay?
Well, I don't... Sounds pretty far out to me.
What does? Eating steak?
The fact that he's got a steer in the backyard and he's repairing cars.
Yeah, it sounds pretty far out to me, too.
Is that right? We'll be right back. Robert Greene coming up next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk more about Monte Tail on the Phil Henry Show.
On the Phil Henry Show.
Sounds pretty far out to me.
Phil Henry.
Robert Greene joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show from Fraser Foods, Buena Park, California, a 30-store chain in the American Southwest and opening stores in the Southeast. And, Bob, always good to have you on the line with us.
Always good to be with you, sir.
I know that we're talking to you this hour about this Monte Tail story, and I know that you wanted to address Ms. Gray here.
I'm very happy to talk to you, Bob. I did not mean any offense. I'm just wondering why we have...
Well, Ms. Gray, I will tell you this much. It is not a criticism that my family is not used to.
I did not mean it as a criticism.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. I will accept your explanation, but believe me when I tell you, Ms. Gray, I come from a family of grocery clerks. And I know that, you know, people look down on grocery clerks. We're nothing but lowlifes.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Well, Margaret, I mean, to be fair, you said, why is a grocery store? You said the words, grocery clerk.
That's okay, Phil. I'll accept your apologies, Ms. Gray. I know that you were speaking from, you wondered what my connection was to this story, and I'll be very happy to tell you. But first, I just want to say... I come from a family of grocery clerks, a long line of grocery clerks, and I'm aware of our reputation out there in society that we're, we're lowlifes, that we are the scum of the earth.
Wait a minute,
You're not the scum of the earth.
I'm going to say, why do you say grocery clerks are the scum of the earth?
That is the perception, I think, that most people have.
Yeah, I know a lot. My cousin was a grocery clerk. He's the scum of the earth.
Yeah, see?
What do you mean your cousin was the scum of the earth?
He's a grocery clerk. Think about it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I am thinking about it.
Why is he the scum of the earth?
Can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
You can sit there and we can ask why until the cows come home. You just heard one of your staff say that his cousin was a grocery clerk and he's the scum of the earth. Now, I can sit here and tell you, and I can tell you for sure, we are not the scum of the earth, but your man there thinks that we are.
Why do you say that about your cousin?
Think about it. Just think about it. Grocery clerk.
Yeah, the grocery clerk.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking real hard.
Well, Phil, you could think until your brain dries up, and you'll never come up with a reason why we're the scum of the earth, but that's the perception. I'm not even angry at your man there.
Well, my name's Bud Dickman, sir.
That's fine. You call a grocery clerk the scum of the earth, I'm going to refer to you by your name, Bud Dickman. Bud, that's all right. Because I forgive all when it comes to that, because guess what? I own the grocery stores, and I make a lot of money.
Well, all right. So you get your revenge.
It's not revenge. It's not revenge at all. I'm very, very happy to provide a service and to provide food and to provide the nourishment for the families of the areas that our stores are in. Maybe you've even shopped at our store, Ms. Gray. Maybe you haven't, but I'm happy to have you as a customer. And even though I'm a low-lying, no-good, two-bit, cheating, lying, murderous grocery clerk, I'm happy to do that.
Well, that entire description that you just gave right there, a low-lying, cheap, murderous...
But, Phil, hold on. That really is the perception.
I've never heard that.
No, it is.
Yeah, Phil, it's one thing that the four of us, myself and the lady and the two guys agree on, is that you don't know what you're talking about.
But you say it isn't true.
Of course it isn't true. But the perception is that we are... let me ask a question. When did you ever hear different?
Bob, I've been going to grocery stores.
No, I'm not talking about going to the grocery, but when have you ever heard different? We're grocery clerks. We are the dregs. And I've been around some real garbage in my life, but I tell you, the way that people perceive us.
Well, I've never, ever heard that.
I have, and I will tell you, I agree with Bud in that instance. They are the dirty, filthy... I dated a grocery clerk.
Oh, boy.
Yes, that's right. Oh, boy.
You know, Ms. Gray, I know enough about you to know that when you say you dated someone, here comes the pornography.
That is absolutely not true.
Well, Ms. Gray, it is, because you told a story about a man ate a sandwich.
That was... Oh, I forget his name now.
I thought you said his name was Alfie.
Alfie? What are you smoking, Alfie?
Yeah, he said, oh, I know, like, Avi or Tali.
In any event, that was the Greek. Yes, okay, that was pornographic. The grocery clerk that I went out with was not pornography. It was a night of depravity. And I won't go any further.
See what I'm saying? And who knows if this story's true?
It is absolutely true.
All right, I'm not going to go any further with the maligning of a group of people who work for a living. I will not do it. As far as my experience goes, grocery clerks and whatever that, you know, people that work in grocery stores are fine people just like everybody else. They've never done me any wrong. And for you people to sit here and talk about this, that, and something else. And did you ever get robbed by a grocery clerk, Bud?
No.
Did you ever get stabbed, murdered? What about you, Robert?
No, I haven't, but everybody knows.
It's common knowledge.
It is not common knowledge.
Well, it is common knowledge, Phil. It's the perception. It's not the reality, it's the perception. I get it all the time. I'm telling you right now, I've had troubles. I'll give you an example. I had a reservation, and I won't mention the hotel, but a very, very a fine hotel in San Francisco, and I had reservations. I walked in, I'm Mr. Green. I'm with Fraser Foods, and they looked me right in the eye after taking my reservation from my secretary, and they said, you know what, we don't seem to have it, and we're sorry, Mr. Green, and you know, and that's when I said, Bob Green of Fraser Foods. Haven't I just said Bob Green, but they still wouldn't have given me the room if it was written down there, because we like to get the company discount, you know.
Well, then don't put down where you work.
I'm not going to be ashamed of what I do for a living.
Why should he not put it down? If he wants to get the corporate discount, why can't he put it down?
You're going to see that he's from Fraser Food, and he'll be worried.
Yeah, and I said to this guy, look, I know you're only doing your job, and I know there's somebody heavier than you that's telling you don't give rooms to grocery clerks, but I will tell you this, you know.
What did you say?
It's very emotional.
You don't want to tell us?
I will. I said, I'll tell you this. I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. Now, I don't know to you, I look like a big, ugly slob and a freak, but I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. You put that down there in your little reservation pad, mister. Bob Green was no punk. Bob Green almost was the chairman of the board of bonds.
Bob, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Oh, look, Bob, you know, you have my respect and my esteem, and everybody that works for Fraser Foods and everyone that works for every other grocery chain, and God bless them for being there for us. And
well, I appreciate it very much, Phil.
Yeah, I'm sorry too, Mr. Green. My cousin's just the scum of the earth.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way about your cousin.
It's all right. It's all right. Your cousin. What? If the guy isn't a bad guy, why do you say that? Is he a bad guy?
No, he's a great guy. Play pool and everything.
Well, then why say he's the scum of the earth?
Because on account of the perception.
I've never heard in my wildest days, man, such jackball logic than the crap that pours from the faces of you three people sitting here.
Very nice speech, Phil, but it's not going to get you anywhere, you see? I mean, I've been giving that same speech for a lot of years.
All right, let's get back to the Notre Dame story. Monte Teo, what can you tell me about this, Bob? And first of all, I want to just say to people, you are a longtime season ticket holder in South Bend. You're also a season ticket holder of the University of Southern California, and for only one reason, right?
Absolutely, Phil. The only reason why we have season tickets for the USC Trojans is to see every other year the Notre Dame Fighting Irish come out here to the Coliseum to play the USC Trojans. Otherwise, I don't care whether they live or die downtown, and I say that with all due respect. The nice people at SC, we've been treated very well, but I'm not an SC fan. I'm a Notre Dame fan all the way. Have been for many, many years.
Now, just a question. Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not. I was not raised Catholic. But as a kid growing up in California, you rapidly got to know that every other kid was an SC and a UCLA fan and this and that. And I said, you know, I'm not going down that road. There's a lot of things I can't control. I knew I was going into the grocery business as a young man. I knew as the result of that, I'd be looked down upon by people. I knew that I would have, even though I was wealthy, I'd have a hard time getting dates, etc., etc. But there's one thing I can control. I don't have to go to UCLA or USC games, and so that's that. And I looked around, what's the next best team? Notre Dame.
Well, and so it's been, huh?
Ever since I was 18, when I got the season tickets, and I had to change them over to my own name from my father, but yeah. We've been going to Notre Dame games. We love Notre Dame. We go to the SC game. And I can tell you this, Bill. I don't get away to a lot of the games because of my work. But we get to most of the ball games.
And did you go to the,
Yeah. We were there.
Okay. And any comment?
Well, it hurts. It hurt me because of all the years that we spent, not going to the title game and then to the championship, or at least not winning the championship. But to lose to Alabama is a kick to the, blankety blank. That's rough. I'd rather lose to SC than lose to Alabama.
Why?
I'm sorry?
Why? Why would you rather lose to SC than Alabama?
Are you ready for that?
Well, I mean,
you don't know?
No, I don't.
You're a football fan.
Yeah, I'm a football fan.
And you don't know why I would rather lose to SC than Alabama?
What is it, a thing about Southern football?
Well, we can start there, but... So I never told you the story.
What story? We got more stories.
Well, I'm not going to,
Well, no, I want to hear it.
We got more stories here tonight.
What story?
Well, it's a... Look, and if nobody has heard it, I'm not going to go into it, all right?
Well, no, go ahead.
I don't root for Alabama because I used to go out with a homecoming queen from there, and it didn't end very well, and... That's, I guess, all I'll say, but I thought you knew the story.
No, I didn't know the story. Did it make the papers or something?
Yes, it did.
Oh, now you have to tell us what that story is.
Well,
okay, take a break. We'll be back. Robert Greene will tell us why he doesn't root for Alabama. I want to get to this Tao story.
We'll get to the Tao story. I don't really want to tell the story of Alabama. You tell me I have to?
Yeah. Will you ask me if I knew the story?
No, Mr. Greene, I am telling you that you have to.
All
right, we'll be right back with Robert Greene and the story of why he doesn't like Alabama football having to do with dating a homecoming queen from Alabama when we get back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Where's
the
grocery
bitch.
Clerk? What are you going to expect?
Phil Hendry Show.
That's right.
Margaret.
I think that he has to tell the story, otherwise I'm going to dig into it and find out about it myself.
All right, well, I got to go. As I said to Phil, and as I said to you, Ms. Gray, and as I said to your audience, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I have been a Notre Dame football fan for a long time. I went to school, by the way, at San Diego State. When I was in Alabama for a football game between San Diego State and University of Alabama, Birmingham, this was not even Alabama, this was University of Alabama, Birmingham, I went out on a date with a homecoming queen from University of Alabama.
All right, but this was in Birmingham?
In Birmingham.
You were playing Alabama?
No, we were not playing Alabama, we were playing University of Alabama, Birmingham. It's a different school.
That's in Birmingham.
Oh, well, give him a cookie. What, Mr. Henry?
But just let him...
God.
I mean, give him a cookie.
Just be quiet.
Thank you. I was a young man at this time, and I want to caution your audience to understand I was a young man at this time. I was irresponsible. And I also knew at that time that I was going to be going into the grocery business. My father had already told me he expected me to take over a couple of these stores. He had very small stores, and we turned it into what it's become. And I'm very proud of that, Miss Gray.
I'm not looking to... Sir, I'm not looking to malign you. I just want you to tell the story.
Well, the story has not been public for a long time.
Please, Bob, at this point.
Knowing the reputation of grocery clerks as being the scum of the earth, On this particular night, I had been drinking with some friends of mine who had traveled to Birmingham for this football game. These were guys from the school, and we also knew some guys locally down there in Alabama. A couple of friends of mine had gone into the Army. I said to them that I had this date with this Alabama, you know, University of Alabama homecoming queen, and they wished me luck. And one of them gave me something that I will tell you about later. That's why I said to this girl's father that there was more than just me involved in this.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know if I want.
I want to hear the story. Go ahead.
I took the girl out, and again, I knew the reputation of grocery clerks, and I thought, well, even though the reputation of grocery clerks is not true, I think I'm going to live up to it tonight. That's just the way I was. I took another pull on this bottle of I think it was Wild Turkey. I threw the empty in the back, and I traveled over to her house.
So you are now drunk on your way to her home.
Good God.
Yes, sir. We went out, and we actually had a very nice time. We went to a dance place, you know, went dancing, we had dinner. And as I was driving her home, I took out what my friend had given me, which I had in my pocket. Can we close that door, please? I took out what I had in my pocket, and I gave it to her, and she said, "What is that?"
What was it?
Well, they were two Dramamine capsules.
I'm listening.
Oh, God.
Well, what is he about to say?
I'll do it. I said, she said to me the same thing. What are these for? Or not the same. She said, what are these for? And I said to her, so you don't.
Oh, my God.
What did she say? Or what did you say?
I said there so you won't gag.
Oh, God.
You should have been arrested.
Then I took her home, and I kicked her out of the car while it was still rolling. So that's why, that's why it got reported in the newspaper, and that's why I hate Alabama.
Because this girl went public with the story.
Her father did.
And you hate Alabama because they published the story about this episode.
Because, Phil, I didn't force her.
Did she do this willingly?
Yes.
Were you charged with any crime?
No, I was not.
Then why did she tell her father?
She told her
father. Excuse me, I was not on the mic. She told her...
She
told her father...
You're on the phone.
Right. She told her father so that she wouldn't get in trouble and that I'd get in trouble.
And how did her father know?
Because we got home late and apparently somebody had driven by where we were parked and saw my car.
All right, so just so I know...
You know something? I don't believe you. I think you forced that girl.
No, I didn't force her. What the reason why I can't stand telling this story is because I always wind up looking like the bad guy. She goes and tells her dad. He leaks this to the newspaper. My family gets all kinds of heat.
So I just want to be clear. You take this girl out, you hand her these two capsules, you tell her what it's for. How did she react to that?
She was fine with it to a point because, you know, when I said it was so she wouldn't, you know what, I meant it. And she didn't anticipate that it would be as big as it.
You know what? You are one of the most... You know something? I'm going to take back what I said about grocery. You are the most disgusting guest this show has ever had.
Same to you, lady.
I'm getting up and leaving. I'm not listening to any more... I'm not leaving the show, but I'm not listening to any more of this filth.
Well, I mean...
No, I'm not.
I just want to be clear that you did not force this woman...
No, I wasn't charged with any crime. She knew that I didn't...
She told her father that, though.
Yes, she did.
And it got printed in the paper.
And that's ever since I've hated Alabama.
I mean, that's about as weird as it gets.
And I just want to, I want to tell you one thing, Phil, and I mean this.
What?
I'm only kidding.
What are you only kidding? What do you mean?
I'm only kidding. I made the whole story up.
You made the whole story up?
Yeah. I mean, you guys wanted me to...
Well, what? Goodbye, Bob.
Now, wait just a second, Phil.
Why'd you hang up on me? You could have ripped him an ass.
I'm tired of ripping people an ass. That's all. I'm tired of that. I don't want to yell. I just hung up on him. Bob, if you're listening, and I know you are because your ego is so oversized that you immediately turned the radio up to see what I'm talking about. If you're listening, Bob, before you come back on this show as a guest, I will expect an apology from you. And I don't care what kind of problem you make with me, with the other advertisers, with whoever syndicates my show, whoever they may be. You understand what I'm saying, Bob? I know you nod your head up and down, Bob, even though I can't see you. I'm just in my mind's eye. I can see your head going, yes, sir, Mr. Hendry. Thank you, Bob.
Are you telling me he made all of that up?
Yes, that's what he's saying.
I think he's lying. I think it actually happened, and he's saying he made it up because of my reaction.
Well, I don't care whether he made it up or not. For him to just say that he made it up pisses me off enough. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're taking this very calmly.
That's right.
Phil Hendry.